The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora Deep Immune Symbiotic. Find Terraflora and the full line of Enviromedica products at Enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, the maker of America's number one organic pet food. Visit CastorPollexPet.com for their complete line of organic and sustainably sourced pet foods. Organifi, the all-day superfood system that revives in the morning, energizes midday, and relaxes in the evening. Visit Organifi.com/OLR for 20% off. That's Organifi.com/OLR. The Wellbeing Journal and Veg World Magazines. Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based proteins. Go to sunwarrior.com and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. The International Society of Sports Nutrition, the only nonprofit academic society dedicated to the science of evidence-based sports nutrition and supplementation. And Thorne Research, visit our dispensary at oneliferadio.com for 20% off your order and free shipping. You can find more information on all our sponsors, including links to listener discounts, on the oneliferadio.com sponsor page. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Baby. Do you want to go higher, baby? Welcome to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Junior, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm having a little trouble with my connection here, and I didn't want to scare you right before we went live, so hopefully it'll clear up. You know, sometimes it can just be, you know, the little pokey thing that goes into the, you know, the connector.
Yeah, it may be because you sound great on my end. Like, I don't hear any issues at all. So.
Good. Well, maybe it's on my end, but I'm going to ignore it because we've got a great show. Oh, my gosh. At the half, we've got Dr. Dan Engel. We're going to be talking about the future of psychedelic medicine, and we've got Drew Manning up here in just a second. But before I introduce Drew, I want to tell you to be sure to listen in tomorrow. If you don't listen every day, tomorrow's show is going to be awesome, where you can also listen to the podcast after the broadcast on any podcast app. But we have John Joseph on the show tomorrow. I am crazy about this guy. He wrote the book, The PMA Effect, How a Positive Mental Attitude Can Make You the Badass You Were Born to Be. The foreword is written by Rich Roll, and this guy has an amazing story. You're not going to want to miss it. He's also the lead singer of the punk band Crow Magna. So, you know, it's going to be a great show. Do you know anything about him? Do you know?
I don't know that band, but when I looked them up, I am familiar with bands that they suggest that are like him. And the sound is, it's definitely like that punk sound. Even like, I guess like there's a band called Rancid. They kind of sound like that a little bit. But yeah, it's good. It sounds good. He's got a very interesting voice. So yeah, it I'm trying to find some more of their music. I only listened to like two songs, but
yeah. Well, yeah. I'm so looking forward to having him on the show tomorrow. He'll be on the full hour, so you tune in. If having a positive mental attitude is your thing, or it's not, and you needs to be, I would encourage you to listen. He's incredible. He's just incredible, and so is my next guest, Drew Manning. He is a leader in the keto diet movement and the New York Times bestselling author of Fit to Fat to Fit: At the Unexpected Lessons from Gaining and losing 75 pounds on purpose. He is the creator of the A&E show Fit to Fat to Fit and the host of the Fit to Fat to Fit Experience podcast. With over a million social media followers, Drew continues to transform people's lives all around the world with his second Fit to Fat to Fit journey and Back to Fit. Drew has been featured on the Dr. Oz Show, CNN, Good Morning America, The Tonight Show, The View, MSNBC, and more. You can find him at his website. That's fittofattofit.com, and that's F-I-T, the number two, fat, the number two, and fit.com. Drew Manning, always a pleasure. How are you doing today?
Thank you, Bernadette. Always a pleasure to be here with you guys. I'm doing fantastic.
Yeah. Well, good. That's good to hear. And you're in Hawaii. What time is it in Hawaii right now?
Oh, man, it's 7 a.m., a little after 7 a.m., but
a little after 7 a.m. And what time do you get up? I'm dying to know.
I actually get up at 5:30, so we're good. I had time to wake up before this call.
Yeah. But you're one of those guys, you know, all those fit guys, they all get up like at 5 a.m., right, or 4 a.m., right? I mean, that's just kind of a thing with guys that are kind of in your league, if you will, right? You get up super early.
Yeah. Early bed, early to rise. As you get older and wiser, you realize staying up late is overrated.
Oh, I know, isn't it? Isn't that the truth? Oh, yeah. There's nothing better than a warm biscuit at night. And I'm speaking about your bed, right? Sleeping in your biscuit.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I love having you on the show. You're an amazing guy. So let's start by hearing about your move to Hawaii. How are you liking it so far? What is it like to live in Hawaii?
Oh, I love it. So here's a little bit of backstory. My dad is actually from this island, the Big Island of Hawaii. And he
really?
Was born and raised out here. So I'm actually part Hawaiian. I know you can't tell by looking at me because I was raised on the mainland. So my dad's from here. And so we grew up coming here as kids and visiting family. And to live here is totally different because I'm used to only coming on vacation here. But it's beautiful. It's magical. Every morning, you know, I live across the street from the ocean, meditating, drinking my coffee, like on the beach. And then every sunset, trying to get to the ocean. There's a different energy. Being close to the ocean, there's something about it that's very healing. So I love it. My daughters love it. It's obviously hot and humid all day, but, you know, that's part of the tropical lifestyle.
And so I don't know how to ask this, but they don't wear many clothes, right? Because it's so hot and humid, which is very freeing, by the way, right? I feel so constricted by my clothes sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, people don't walk around naked, but...
No, but like bikinis, like...
Less clothes.
Yeah, I mean, well, and you've got that great chest anyway, walking around just in shorts, right? I mean...
Yeah, I don't wear a shirt. I don't wear a shirt very often. I'm not wearing a shirt right now just because you're always sweating and it's hot, but...
Right.
I love it. I really do. Teaching my daughters about the culture out here is a lot to learn and take in.
Yeah, no, I've never been to Hawaii. Always wanted to go. I need to go. My daughters have been with their dad, but I never made it over there. So it's on my list to do thing and my things to do list. But you know,
you let me know.
Oh, I will. I definitely. I'll probably be able to just pick you out on the beach, right?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so at the beginning of this year, you know, Drew, you embarked on your second Fit to Fat to Fit journey, and then Back to Fit, which you completed in August. So what is Fit to Fat to Fit, and why did you decide to do it a second time for people that don't know?
Yeah, thank you. So I first did this in 2011 as a personal trainer and someone who had never been overweight a day in my life. I wanted to better understand what it was like to be overweight. So in 2011, I put on 75 pounds on purpose in 6 months and documented that entire journey. It was one of the hardest, most humbling things I've ever done, but I learned so many valuable lessons from that first experience. And that first experience kind of went viral. I went on like Jay Leno, I think was the first TV show I did, and then Dr. Oz and Good Morning America. And then I wrote a book, and, you know, luckily I was able to lose the weight, but I gained a whole new perspective and respect and empathy for those that struggle with weight loss and body image issues. And it totally changed the way I viewed transformation to where now I feel like I can better help people because I can better relate to them and they can better relate to me having been through that first experience. Okay.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Why did I do it again? Why did I do it again in 2020? Yeah. That's a good question. I swore I would never do it. First of all, Bernadette, I swore I would never do it again. I was like, this is way too hard. There's no way I'm ever going to do it again. And then 2020 happened, which was a crazy year for all of us.
Right.
And I felt like, you know what? Social media back in 2011 was not what it is today. And a lot of people didn't get to see the experience of what it's like to go through that transformation. Mm-hmm. And I was turning 40. And we know so many people in this age demographic that tell us, you know, hey, it's harder to lose weight. It's harder to get fit because my metabolism has changed. My hormones have changed. And it can be harder. Mm-hmm. So I felt called to do it a second time as a 40-year-old to do the journey with people in that age demographic. And so I gained 62 pounds over the course of 4 months this time. Mm-hmm. And then in January of 2020, earlier this year, I embarked on losing that weight to get back to fit. And once again, I was humbled at how hard this journey was, even though I had done it before. And I learned so many more, even deeper, valuable experience or lessons this time doing it a second time.
What did you learn? That was one of the questions I was going to ask you. That did, and did you ever get nervous about being able to bounce back? Because I would think that, I mean, I think that's just human nature, especially after, you know, gaining 62 pounds. You're like, oh, man, why did I do this again? And did you ever get nervous?
Well, I was definitely nervous because now that you're older, you know, I wasn't sure how my body would react to, you know, gaining that much weight, that much fat at an older age. With a different metabolism, you know, I definitely am not in the same type of shape. And so here's what I learned from this experience doing a second time. The power of emotional eating, even I myself underestimated how powerful it is because we've talked about this. You know, me going through this journey of gaining the weight, eating the food, which tastes delicious. By the way, the processed food that I ate to gain the weight was delicious. But going through a life crisis in the middle of this, which was not planned, I went through a really hard breakup. And the gravitating towards foods to help numb the pain of a breakup, which so many times we as humans do when we go through hard times and we are stressed out, we look for substances to numb ourselves from that pain. And so food is the most easily accessible drug because you don't have to go out of your way to find it. It's there all the time at the grocery store, at the gas station.
Oh, yeah.
Push a button on your phone for Uber Eats. It shows up. And we can get those little dopamine hits multiple times per day. So that we don't ever have to feel the stress. Like the food numbs the pain temporarily, alcohol, drugs, these types of substances numb the pain temporarily, and that's how we get through life. And so for me, doing this, going through that breakup, eating the Ben & Jerry's Netflix and chilled flavor ice cream, for some reason, that dopamine hit, it made it temporarily better. And so I get why people behave that way. I understand why we cope with using foods with hard situations in life. I understand on a deeper level why we gravitate towards that and how hard it is to break that cycle. So that's what I learned this time around. That's why I have so much empathy for those that struggle to lose weight because of the powerful emotional connection to food that some people who have never been overweight are just like, why don't you stop eating that food? It's not that hard. Just don't eat it, right?
Right,
but it's like
right.
a drug. It's like telling a drug addict, hey, don't do drugs. Like, of course, people know not to do it, but it's so hard when it's so accessible.
Well, and I think one of the best ways to avoid, excuse me, that power of emotional eating, as you say, is to get to bed early, right? To get to bed early. I mean, I did it last night, Drew. Last night I had a wonderful, healthy dinner. And then I was, you know, farting around in the kitchen doing this and that. And then I found myself eating some of those dumb animal crackers again that I let my daughter bring into the house. Trader Joe's organic, you know, animal crackers. And I probably ate. I had two or three at first. And I was like, oh, darn, those were good. I went back for a couple more and I probably, when it was all said and done, ate 10 of them. Not the most disastrous thing, but you know, but it all adds up, especially as you get older and you want to eat well, you want to eat smart, you want to be as fit and as powerful as you can. And it is difficult sometimes to overcome that power of emotional eating. I'm looking at the clock. We need to go to break. We'll be right back, everyone. More coming up with Drew Manning. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@oneliferadio.com.
It's back to school time, and that means that you need to boost your immune defenses with Organifi. The Immune Support Bundle is a double pack of protection for your hardworking immune system. It's a holistic approach to wellness, combining daily support with extra defenses when you need them most. All organic vitamin C, zinc, and adaptogenic superfoods give your innate immunity a helping hand. For a limited time, your Immune Support Bundle will include an extra box of immunity, a $40 value, at no charge. That way, you and your family can feel safer. Get yours by going to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com.
Celebrating 10 years on the air. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
All right, everybody. Are you ready? Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix and Drew Manning. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. If you're just now joining us, spitting that out there, what is wrong with me? But Drew Manning is a leader in the keto diet movement and the New York Times bestselling author of Fit to Fat to Fit, The Unexpected Lessons from gaining and losing 75 pounds on purpose. He is the creator of the A&E show Fit to Fat to Fit and the host of the Fit to Fat to Fit Experience podcast with over a million social media followers. Drew continues to transform people's lives all around the world with his second Fit to Fat to Fit journey and Back to Fit. Drew has been featured on Dr. Oz, CNN, Good Morning America, The Tonight Show, The View, MSNBC, and many more. His website is fittofattofit.com, and that's fit with the number two, fat the number two, fit.com. Okay, Drew, let's get back to this. You know, this time around, what were your goals, and did you hit them all?
Obviously, my goal was to get back to fit, which was around 8% body fat, I think is when I started, and then I think I weighed in at 181.6. So the goal from a physical perspective was to get back to somewhat similar to that body composition, those numbers. And yes, I did achieve that, but man, was it humbling. I do think that it was interesting that comparing this strategy of losing the weight using keto and intermittent fasting versus the first time I did in 2011, keto wasn't really mainstream yet or well-known. So I did more of a paleo-ish diet. And it's interesting. I think doing the keto and intermittent fasting, losing that weight in 4 months was easier for me to manage this time around. Being older, you know, having a different metabolism, I liked the way my body responded to keto and intermittent fasting. The only difference I'll say that I noticed was the first time around, being younger, I felt like I recovered faster. I didn't have as many, you know, tightness or injuries or anything like that. This time around, being a little bit older, it was a little bit more, you know, took me longer to recover, but that's most likely an age thing.
Yeah.
But my body responded really well to the keto intermittent fasting protocol.
Yeah. Well, did you follow the same plan on both journeys? You modified it a little bit, you said, by doing a little bit more paleo, right? The second time around?
The second time around, I did keto and intermittent fasting.
Keto.
The first time I did it, yeah, keto and intermittent fasting. The first
intermittent fasting, paleo-ish. Yeah, okay. You're going in and out a little bit. I think it's at my end, but we talked about that at the beginning of the show. But so,
okay.
So what did you find easier? What did you find easier this go around? Anything that was easier?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it was easier to stay consistent because with keto and intermittent fasting, you're not hangry like you are sometimes when you're eating six small meals a day. You have to eat every few hours. This time around, eating once, twice a day, or sometimes doing a 24-hour fast felt more sustainable for me and my body. Like I said, my body responded really well to the keto intermittent fasting protocol because I was never hungry. You know, I was never starving, except for the last week when I had to cut, I think, 5 pounds that last week.
Yeah.
That was, other than that, I felt great.
How did you do the 5 pounds? How did you fast track it?
So that was a modified keto protocol where it was more of an Atkins. It was more of a higher protein, lower fat, modified version of keto where it was still low carb. But it was most of my calories were coming from, it was a high protein diet, not a lot of fat, not a lot of carbohydrates. And my body responds really well to getting rid of that last little bit of fat. It's not the most tasty way of eating. And I told myself, like, this is just a temporary thing for 1 week long where it's going to be lower fat, lower carbs, and then just mostly high protein. Mm-hmm. So the food is bland and boring. But if you are looking for like a quick fat loss strategy, like a week or two of that protocol can definitely, you know, give you.
Oh yeah. And I would imagine you were very motivated to get back to that sweet spot. You know, when you look in the mirror and you're like, darn, I look good. Right. When you feel good in your own skin. Well, yeah. I mean, cause I mean, you're really lean, you're really fit. You are. And I, yesterday when I was, you know, searching for images of you for the social media post, I saw some of the old ones where you were really chubby. I was like, oh my gosh, you look like two completely different human beings, right? And I'm sure you felt like two completely different human beings as well.
100%. Yeah, it's crazy how not just being overweight, you know, but also being unhealthy affects your mental health as well. And so that's what I was trying to tell people. Is like, it's just about the unhealthy habits that lead to that.
Yeah. Well, to everyone out there listening that maybe right now is struggling with you know, being, you know, 60 to 75, 100, you know, 200 pounds overweight, just being overweight in general, maybe not even that much, maybe just 50 pounds. What do you want to what do you want to say to them? That what's the biggest advantage from being fit as opposed to being fat?
Yeah, the biggest thing is getting your mindset right first and foremost, because people go into a physical transformation thinking, oh, it's just going to be physical. They're not really factoring in the emotional eating, the cravings, how their hormones are affected. If you can get your mindset right first. So what I try and do is to teach people how to train their brain to become comfortable in uncomfortable situations. So, for example, I have my clients make their bed first thing in the morning, which has nothing to do with weight loss. It's just a mental discipline thing. I also have them shower at some point in the day. If they can get through a 60-second shower, which is very uncomfortable and, you know, triggers your fight or flight response, if you can learn to slow your heart rate down and realize that you're okay, then that can transfer over into, you know, other areas where you're uncomfortable, like meal prep or eating less food, or you having to eat vegetables instead of donuts, or having to work out in the gym and push yourself and sweat and have sore muscles. Those things are uncomfortable when it comes to physical transformation. But if you could get your mindset right first and foremost, then the physical transformation becomes easier because you're taking care of the mental and emotional stuff before you even start the physical journey. And so that's what I would tell people. Learn how to get your mindset right first. You know, all my programs that I have online really include this, the mental and emotional tips, tricks, and hacks, like making your bed, taking a cold shower, meditating, a gratitude journal, positive affirmations, these types of things that really train your brain to become comfortable in these uncomfortable situations. And it makes the physical transformation, the physical journey that we know we have to do, which is eat healthy food and exercise and sleep, it makes that journey so much easier.
Yeah, and it's like night and day, you know, not just the way you look, but the way you feel, your mindset, as you say. You know, how do you feel today? You feeling good after all of this? How, because it's only been a couple of weeks, right? How you feeling?
Well, yeah, it's been great. Obviously, living out here helps, of course. I did have a little injury, which I didn't talk a lot about. I had a herniated disc that I had to tweak my training routine because of the herniated disc, which was the most painful experience I've ever had. Navigating those waters with the help of a physical therapist and a chiropractor was really hard to get through, because here I was, you know, doing this journey, having to lose weight, but had to alter my movements to be able to still get those results. You know what I'm saying? And so that was one thing that I had to kind of tweak, and I've never really had an injury before.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm still having a little bit of trouble hearing you, but I'm getting most of it. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Yeah, I can hear it. It's intermittent, so it's hard. And so that's why, if I interrupted you, I apologize. So, you know, for people out there listening, Drew, what is a week of exercise look like for you? Uh-huh. What do you typically do to stay in shape? Do you cycle? Do you run? Do you lift weights? How many times a week? What do you do?
Yeah, so ever since I did this 50 Pets 40 journey, lost 62 pounds in 4 months, I've kind of taken a break from high-intensity interval training, because I did a lot of that to lose the weight. Now I'm going through this phase of being in a caloric surplus, but then lifting heavier. So Monday through Friday, at least three of those days are heavy lifting days. Mm-hmm. And the other 2 days are maybe lighter lifting days. And then I, being here in Hawaii, I definitely go swim in the ocean. I'll hike on the weekends and moving my body with active recovery. And so that's kind of my routine nowadays. I've kind of taken a break from any kind of, you know, dieting or getting lean. Like I don't mind having a little bit more mass on my body. My body really wants to, you know, do this type of protocol for the next probably 2 to 4 months. Mm-hmm. And then maybe I'll add in more cardio. So that's what I want to tell people. Like, it doesn't always have to look the same. You don't always have to be in this weight loss season 12 months out of the year.
Right.
Take a break every once in a while, lift heavy, eat in a caloric surplus. Your hormones will be happier, I promise you. And it pays dividends in the long run, where you're building lean muscle mass. The more muscle you have, the more fat you burn. And so that's why these like 2 to 4 month, heavy lifting protocols, like once or twice a year, can be good for both men and women, because we're always constantly in this over-the-counter, I think our bodies need a bit more TLC with higher calories and heavier lifting sessions if you can fit that in.
Yeah, I love to exercise. I can't even imagine a life without it. I always have. But would you consider doing Fit to Fat to Fit again in the future? Maybe at 50?
Fit to Fat to 50. Here's the thing, Bernadette. Here's the thing. I swore I would never do it again after the first time. And so this time I learned my lesson. I'm not going to swear I will never do it again. I am going to say I don't foresee myself doing it again. I'll just say that. I won't swear I'll never. I won't use the word never, but I don't foresee it happening ever again.
Yeah. Never say never, though, right? Isn't that what they say?
That's true. That's what I learned from the first time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You learn it. You only have to learn that lesson typically once, but especially when the whole world is watching. But so what's next for you?
Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy, the Aloha lifestyle here and get settled in, like moving to a new home, relocating. You know, my daughter's out here, signing them up at a new school. Has really just been about getting settled in, because moving into a new house, you know, furnishing it, remodeling, like there's a lot to do to get registered into a new state. Mm-hmm. And so I don't really have anything crazy planned just yet, but be prepared. 2022 is going to be a new year, new challenges coming. I can't really talk about the yet because I still have to plan them, what I'm going to do next year, but stay tuned.
All right. Well, keep us posted. We'll be here when you're ready. Always a pleasure. I wish you and your family the best of luck in Hawaii and your two daughters, and we'll talk to you later. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bernadette.
You're welcome. All right, everybody. Check him out. That's Drew Manning you've been listening to at fittofattofit.com. We'll be right back with Dr. Dan Engel. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@oneliferadio.com.
We have an exciting announcement to make. Jared Ramirez, our on-air microbiome expert, and his team at Enviromedica took home the 2021 Nexti Award for Best New Product Supporting a Healthy Microbiome. The Nexti Awards recognize the most progressive, innovative, inspiring, and trustworthy products in the natural products industry. We've always known about their TerraFlora Deep Immune Symbiotic. It provides broad-spectrum gut health support while strengthening the body's adaptive response to immune challenges. It is a completely elevated gut immune system support product, a perfect welcome addition to your supplement routine. Visit Enviromedica.com to learn more and order your TerraFlora Deep Immune Symbiotic. Congratulations, Enviromedica.
10 years of positivity on your radio. This is One Life Radio.
Everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior in the Mix. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. We have Dr. Dan Engel back with us today. He is the author of The Concussion Repair Manual, A Practical Guide to Recovering from Traumatic Brain Injuries, as well as his new book, A Dose of Hope, A Story of MDMA-Assisted Therapy and Its Power to Alleviate the Effects of Chronic Underlying Mental Trauma. His clinical practice combines aspects of transformational medicine, restorative psychiatry, integrative spirituality, and peak performance methods. He is the founder and medical director of the Kuya Institute for Transformational Medicine in Austin, Texas. His website is drdanengel.com, and that's E-N-G-L-E, drdanengel.com, or his website, his other website is kuya.life. That's KUYA.life. Always a pleasure. Dr. Dan, how you doing today?
I'm great, Bernadette. Great to be with you again.
Yeah, so great to be with you. And we're talking about the future of psychedelic medicine. I'm psyched to talk about it. So, you know, psychedelic medicine, is getting a lot of buzz, Dr. Dan, as you know, these days. But how widely is it actually being used?
Well, we have to look at that question from the legal standpoint, which is how many people are involved in clinical trials, how many people are involved in something like ketamine therapy, which is legal. Ketamine is not technically a psychedelic, but many people experience altered states with it. And then you have the entire underground community where the majority of the quote-unquote work happens. So the last study that was actually done to look at the numbers was around 2013. And at that time, there were 30 million psychedelic users, lifetime prevalence, that reported use. And that was eight, nine years ago. And we've just seen a major acceleration over that time of interest and use. So I think those numbers are actually quite higher, potentially even up to 40 million, which is getting into, you know, one in nine people.
And is that worldwide or just here in America?
Those are numbers here in America.
Wow. Well, you know, I've experienced it myself back about 10 years ago. But, you know, I kept it on the down low. I didn't want anybody to know. But I have to say it was incredibly cathartic for me. And it really did help me in so many ways. You know, recently, a Forbes article from July 5th of this year mentions that the Food and Drug Administration granted psilocybin breakthrough therapy designation. Does this type of designation make the therapy more readily available?
It eventually will, because breakthrough designation essentially means that the feds are willing to fast track the trials that will allow for legalization. So when the federal government looked at the data for psilocybin in treatment of depression, the numbers were extraordinarily high, much better than the current standard of care.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the prevalence and epidemic of depression, they fast tracked. They gave it that breakthrough therapy, which means it can now go through, it's already gone through phase one and phase two trials, and now it's going to phase three trials, the last stage. It's also the same kind of designation with MDMA as a breakthrough therapy for PTSD. Mm-hmm. And that means everybody now appreciates that this needs to go through trials as efficiently as possible to be offered to those people that need it the most.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. I had a conversation with one of my smartest friends about a month ago when we were discussing, you know, the psychedelic drugs, you know, are moving from fringes of medicine to mainstream. And anyway, she's a very spiritual person. And I'm just putting this out there. I wanted to have this conversation with you. Said, oh, I can't wait to ask Dr. Engel what he thinks about this. She gave it a big thumbs down. And she feels that the work really needs to be done deep within yourself and spiritually if it's truly to be long-lasting and effective. What do you say to her?
I agree. Personally, I agree 100%. And there will be those that disagree, and we can have a conversation about that. And the reason I agree 100% is kind of like the old Carl Jung quote where he says, beware of unearned wisdom.
Oh, yeah.
And that essentially means, like, you know, if you all of a sudden fast track somebody to an awakening experience, sometimes that's really disruptive and they may not be able to hold it. They may not be ready for it. It could significantly change the course of their life and their relationships and how they're living life. And that might have a blast zone radius that's uncomfortable for those around them. So ideally, in this kind of situation, when we're talking about these really powerful tools for opening the doors of perception, so to speak, or helping people go through an awakening process, ideally that is set on the foundation of personal awareness through meditation, personal regulation and self-regulation through understanding how to come to greater states of self-relaxation, breath work, self-moderation, and then the process of vetting through the understanding of how to get more and more ready for an opening experience, where to have that experience, who to support that experience. You know, there's a lot of preparation that goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
And spirituality means a lot of things for a lot of people.
Right.
So I don't necessarily think that it has to be a particular spiritual tradition, but we do know that people that have a meditation practice and some degree of spiritual depth or practice already experienced on a regular basis, they tend to go through experiences with psychedelics much more easily, and they integrate them much more readily.
Yeah. No, it's, I love, I'm glad that you, I asked the question. I was a little, you know, I was kind of a, not afraid, but, you know, I thought, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't ask the question, but I'm so glad I did. And, you know, she, my friend, you know, referenced the book, A Course in Miracles, which is the same book that Gabby Bernstein, the spirit junkie, I'm sure you're familiar with her. She was had a huge addiction problem. And she's a New York girl. Anyway, very popular now, has written multiple books since then. But, you know, that's how she got to that place of peace that I think we all want to be at, is through the book, A Course in Miracles. I have the book. I've never had time. It's about a year investment in reading and doing the work to get through it. But, you know, that's what she suggested. But I think both together would be a great combo, you know, especially if somebody's really suffering, right?
Absolutely. That's the best case scenario. When we have, well, and then I would add things into that, like community, like a positive community and brothers and sisters, so to speak, going through a similar process of transformation. It's helpful to be able to put it in the context around people that you feel safe with, and then start to unpack and uncover all the experiences from the subconscious that have been buried oftentimes for generations.
Yeah.
And then we have a supportive experience to go through the reclaiming of all these different parts of ourself, oftentimes traumatic or kind of stuck parts of ourselves that we made wrong or weren't really proud of. What does it look and feel like when we can bring all of ourselves into an experience of authenticity and really reclaim a life that we love?
Right. Well, and spirituality, as you said, it's different for everyone. You know, I'm thinking of my mother. My mother, you talk about generational trauma. My mother lost her father at 4 and her mother at 9. And, you know, and became very spiritual, put herself through college. She was awesome. Bless her soul. She's been gone for a few years. But, you know, I question sometimes how much suffering did she bring forward with her, you know, into the marriage with my father and our, you know, my brothers and sisters, you know, because we're all affected by our childhood. You know, we've talked about this many times, you and I, about childhood trauma and how it stays with you unless you do the work to heal it. Right. And flush it out of your system once and for all. It takes a lot of work, though, doesn't it?
It does. It takes a lot of willingness. It takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of support. And it takes a lot of work, because just like climbing up a mountain or going on any long journey, the guide that's taking us along that journey, their role isn't to carry us along that path. Their goal is, Their role and kind of chosen position is to help guide us along that path. It's still our walk to make. Mm-hmm. It's still our journey to make. And that's where the transformation happens. So if we're working with a guide or a teacher or a facilitator and they're promising to, quote unquote, fix something, that's when I would steer clear of that person, because that's not that person's job, nor is it the job of the medicines to fix anything. Mm-hmm. They're ideally there to help catalyze our own personal growth, help us get unstuck, and oftentimes to do a lot of the trauma resolution work that our ancestors potentially didn't have the time to do, or they didn't have access to these kind of tools. So we have the privilege to heal what is in our ancestral trauma bank, and then get current with it, and then become liberated through the journey of healing it.
I'm loving this beautiful conversation. I'm looking at the clock. We're going to go for a quick break. More coming up. Dr. Dan Engel, the future of psychedelic medicine. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@oneliferadio.com.
Hey, everyone. I've got some fabulous news. Castor and Pollux, a brand that I've used for years, has joined us as our official pet sponsor of One Life Radio. Castor and Pollux is the maker of America's number one organic pet food. Their Organics line of recipes is the only complete line of USDA organically certified pet food. And their pristine recipes are made with responsibly sourced ingredients such as wild-caught salmon and grass-fed beef. Castor and Pollux is the most comprehensive portfolio of purposeful pet food, setting the new standard in pet nutrition. Shop and order online at CastorPollux.com. That's CastorPollux.com. Or find it at Whole Foods, Natural Grocers, Sprouts, or Central Market.
A decade of educating and learning. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Oh, my God. I love this song. Oh, my gosh. Welcome back to One Life Radio. I don't think I've ever heard that song on the air before while I'm doing the show. I have a whole dance that goes to this song that I taught my brother Mike back in the day. Oh, my gosh. That's a great song. And who's it by? Don't tell me. Wait a minute. Let me think. Who's it by? Oh, my gosh. Who's it by?
It is Rare Earth.
Rare Earth. That's it. Yeah. That's right.
I had to pull it back up because it only shows me the title. So I had to get it back up.
Yeah.
Rare Earth.
Other people
it's
recorded
Get
it.
Ready.
Get ready because here I come.
Yes.
All right. Well, welcome back to One Life Radio. Sorry about that, Dr. Dan. I get a little crazy when I hear a song I love. But oh,
dance
my gosh.
Is good medicine.
Oh, my God. I was dancing last night, dancing in the moonlight with my AirPods. I tell you, there's nothing better than dancing outside and just chilling. But it's always great to have you on the show. For those of you just now joining us, it's Dr. Dan Engel. He is the author of The Concussion Repair Manual, A Practical Guide to Recovering from Traumatic Brain Injuries, as well as his new book, A Dose of Hope, A Story of MDMA-Assisted Therapy and Its Power to Alleviate the Effects of Chronic Underlying Mental Trauma. His clinical practice combines aspects of transformational medicine, restorative psychiatry, integrative spirituality, and peak performance methods. He is the founder and medical director of the Kuya Institute for Transformational Medicine in Austin, Texas. His website is drdanengel.com or kuya.life. Okay, so we're talking about the future of psychedelics, psychedelic medicine. Dr. Dan, the FDA approved esketamine, which is ketamine, right? I don't know why. What's the difference? Let's start with that. What's the difference between esketamine and ketamine for major depressive disorder that the FDA approved in 2019? Is there a difference between the two?
Mm. Yeah, there's a slight difference.
Okay.
One is ketamine that's typically used in the therapeutic centers where somebody can go through an IV treatment, an IM or intramuscular treatment, or an oral treatment of what would be called a trochee or like a dissolving gel tab. That will engender an altered state experience, and ideally it's held in the context of a psychotherapeutic process too.
Wow.
So, well, the S-ketamine part of that is just one version or one form of that. It's at a much lower dose, and it's by prescription available for people to take at home as they choose. It's a nasal spray, and the dose is so low that people typically don't have an altered state experience.
Okay. And is it effective?
It really kind of depends on what we're talking about with efficacy. So psychiatric medications, which we can put ketamine in that category, it's a very unique psychiatric medication. And that being said, psychiatric medications as an umbrella typically don't get to the core root of the psychological issue. So if somebody has depression, depression is just a symptom that something's out of balance. There are organic causes of depression.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if somebody has a traumatic brain injury, that's a bit more of my specialization. If somebody has chronic hypothyroidism or a hormone imbalance, that can cause depression. If somebody has an immune dysregulation or cytomegalovirus, Epstein-Barr virus, chronic mold exposure, all of those are organic causative factors for depression. So that's one area of depression. The majority of people have depression, it's a psychological cause or maybe a combination. So medications by themselves don't get to the psychological root cause issue. They help resolve symptoms or at least improve the levels of symptoms that people experience. So ketamine will do that by itself. It also helps rehabilitate the nervous system and the neurology. For example, if people have TBI, it can do both. It can really help resolve some of the PTSD or trauma related to a traumatic brain injury, as well as the injury itself. So all of that to say that ketamine by itself is not really generated as a curative factor. It's still a psychiatric medication that's just lessening the severity of symptoms, which is good, especially if people have been suffering from chronic severe depression and they don't have an effective tool. Ketamine typically is better than outpatient medications like Zoloft, Paxil, Prozac, et cetera. And yet, in our experience, it's still done better when there's some psychotherapeutic process put mm-hmm. around it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. To get to the core, you know, it's to get to the core of the problem, the root of the problem. You know, the treatments, though, for ketamine or esketamine start anywhere from $500 to $1,000 a dose. Why are the treatments so expensive?
Okay, so with esketamine, that's the nasal spray that people can receive as a prescription. They can take it home. It's a sub-threshold dose. People don't get an altered state. The ketamine therapy that you're talking, and that's pretty inexpensive. The ketamine therapy itself in the treatment price ranges that you're mentioning, $500 to $1,000, that's typically at a clinic when somebody receives IV ketamine or an injection of ketamine.
Oh.
And they go into an altered state and they need supervision to make mm-hmm. sure that they stay safe. And ideally, if it's held in a psychotherapeutic process, then that means they also have a therapist there that's helping them process the deeper related information or material that might be generating their depression in the first place.
Yeah.
So now, that's a different kind of approach. We're not just using ketamine to anesthetize the symptoms of depression. We can actually use ketamine as an investigational tool to see what's causing the depression in the first place and ideally address it at the root cause so that it doesn't keep coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, there's a lot of cost. I immediately was thinking about the insurance they would have to carry in a clinical, you know, space like that alone. And of course, the staff to make sure that the process goes well. But, you know, I'm going to have to skip ahead here on my questions because I don't want to run out of time. We've only got about 2 minutes. But how does somebody wanting to try psychedelic therapy go about finding a practitioner, Dr. Dan?
Well, there's a variety of different psychedelic therapies. So if we're talking about like just generally starting to surf the landscape of what's possible, it's important first for people to be educated and to understand what are the different medicines, how do they, what are level one medicines, level two medicines, level three medicines, and how would you go through a process of vetting or seeing what medicine might be interesting or supportive or helpful or even right for a person. Not everybody is ready to have an experience.
Right.
So
you know,
it's good to get educated first.
Absolutely. And I apologize for interrupting you. The music has started and I don't want you to get cut off, but always great.
Well, let's pick up there last time.
Yeah. we'll pick up next time from where we left off. Absolutely. Always a pleasure, everyone. I encourage you to visit drdaningle.com. That's his website, or kuya.life. Thank you again, Dr. Dan Ingle. Everyone, thank you for listening. Junior, thanks for the great music. Everyone, remember, you get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.